Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Pure Faith Podcast. I am Michelle, and this is our co-host and my brother, Mitchell. We ask that you like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and don't forget to hit the notification icon to be notified when new episodes are released.
Good job.
Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Did you happen to watch our last episode?
I did not.
I added some fancy stuff at the beginning.
Oh, I'm not going to go watch it.
Yeah, it's so horrible.
No, it's just, like I told Mom, because Mom watched it when you actually put it out a little bit earlier this time than what you usually do. Yeah, and she sent a message saying that she liked it, but I was like, sometimes when you're involved in it, I know you have to edit it, but yeah. I'm just like, oh, I've already been there. But I guess I could still see what you do.
I just watch, like, for that kind of stuff, I'll just open it up and watch that part to make sure it looks good.
Yeah. Like, so you don't watch the whole episode. Okay, good. Then I don't feel so bad because I'm like,
I do listen to the podcast form of it at work.
Yeah.
Just that way, if there's any errors or something that I need to go back in and edit, that I can forget about doing it. And then it just stays a mess up for all of eternity.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Well, but I'll make a mental note that I should do it, and I just don't always do it.
Yeah, well, like I said, I figure I'm already here once. I don't need
to look at the content again.
let's
be honest, you don't want to look at me anymore than you have to.
Well, or it's really sometimes it's just listening to me. I'm like, I don't know how people do it. I just don't know how they do it. But then again, sometimes I crack myself up. I do. I crack myself up.
I'm holding it in.
So, but yeah, life is good, right?
Sure.
Yep. It's
we definitely got to go to Zeke's program this morning.
We went to the preschool program this morning. So, I was available to go because I have no job.
Currently.
Okay, so I'm going to start a new job on Monday, but I'm off work, and so I heard that Zeke was having his preschool play, and I was like,
their spring program is what they called it.
I need to be there, and I was just going to walk out the door. I'm like, I better bring some tissues. So I brought my whole purse with me because you just don't ever know what's going to happen with me at programs. Like, I asked Jenna. She will never forget the day I went to her elementary music thing that all she did was sing like the after school chorus or something. I'm bawling like a baby. She's like, I'll never forget that. So I brought tissues along.
Did you cry?
You know, this is the funny thing. I did shed tears. They actually fell out of my eyes, but it had nothing to do with Zeke. It's when you went up there for the Pledge of Allegiance and Zeke got to hold the flag because his dad was a veteran. So I that made me teary-eyed because I was just so proud. And you would have thought he would have been a little bit prouder, but he was just like, that's my dad. Like, no big deal. But you got to hold the flag when they said the Pledge of Allegiance.
I normally don't do any of those
things. But Mom really pushed me to do it, too. I think they were all expecting you to do it, too, because they were like,
they wanted to get Zeke the flag. It's like, I guess they know I'm a veteran,
And y'all did know you were a veteran, and I think half the people there knew it, so I think everyone was just kind of looking like, is Mitchell going to go up there?
I felt pressured.
Yes, you did.
So I did it.
Oh, but Zeke was the cutest thing. All the kids were cute. But I said, you know what you did really well in the program? And he was like, what? Because I went to lunch with him afterwards. And I said the sleeping part. Because when it was time to sleep, he knew that part. He just put his head down. It was the sweetest thing. So.
And when he had to wake up, it was,
yeah.
Refreshed. Yeah, that was fun.
It was. It was a cute program that the preschool put on. And I hadn't been there in years. So one of the teachers still there.
Years.
Yeah, one of the teachers there. She was one of Noah, Olivia, and Daniel's teachers. So I was excited to go and to see them. And yeah. And Zeke's got a little bit of the quirkiness that Noah used to have. So whenever I see him up there, you know, it reminds me of Noah back in the day. But he looks just like you. Zeke. Oh.
Okay. I don't look at myself very often, so.
Yeah, well. Okay, so I should say he looks like you when you were his age, because I remember that.
Now that, I believe. And I remember seeing pictures of me that young.
And Noah was like, why is he? Oh, we're starting a little bit earlier. My alarm's going off to start. Noah was like, why is he so little? And I'm like, he's just like his dad. He will not be little for long. He will definitely grow.
I was actually surprised. You know, Zeke has always been 90 percentile for height.
And he was not there today. Class, like,
you look average.
You have to remember, it's a 3 and 4 class. You don't know how much older some of those kids are. And boys grow later than girls. And all the girls were pretty much bigger than Zeke. So.
Yeah. Some of those girls were a couple inches taller than him.
Wow. He was cute, though. He did a great job. So. All right. Maybe anything else to talk about? I know, right? Sorry. We know you love to hear about our family, but we'll get on with the Bible study.
I said nobody wants to hear about it. I said everybody wants to hear about it.
Oh, what do we got going on tonight?
So we're starting the next section of Matthew, which is Matthew 4, 23 through 25. I doubt if we get through it all in one episode, but we're going to cover this, and I've already started my study into the Beatitudes, and I'm really looking forward to that. So I'm going to try not to rush through this to get to that, but there's also some of this that I'm pretty excited about, too.
You don't need to take a milkshake break, do you?
I just did.
You didn't see me? I did not. No, I did not see you.
It's water, remember?
Sorry.
Water. Yeah, okay, side story. And I'm telling on myself. But Paige took the day off work
because
of Zeke's stuff. And after I got back from the program, I sent her a message because I got thinking about, okay, what's the rest of my day going to be like? And I'm like, I don't have any more cash in my car. I have a little ice cream fund in my center console. Well, Paige wanted ice cream earlier this week, so I used up all my
spare
cash. So I'm like, I texted her. I was like, hey, I need cash.
Was she like, what for?
No, she didn't ask any reason. But I knew she was bringing me the leftover pizza from the restaurant. She was going to bring it to me for lunch. So I was like, hey, whenever you bring that, bring some cash. She never asked why I needed it. She just asked how much I needed. I said, $20 will be fine. And when even when she handed it to me, she goes, here. I'm like, all right, thank you. She never asked why. It was for my ice cream fund.
And the thing is that we don't tell her either. Like, we can easily see her in church and be like, oh my gosh.
Well, she's eventually going to catch up. And
Is she though?
I think so. Although she is doing the Bible in a year reading.
Is she?
So I think she's doing that instead of watching this. So I might get an extra
You might get away with it. Wintertime, she'll be like, boy, you had a lot of ice cream last summer. Didn't even know anything about it.
Okay.
Matthew 4:23.
I don't know what got us on that little tangent.
Because I thought, well, I didn't know if we needed a drink.
Ice cream.
Yeah, right. Gotcha.
So no, I should be good for my ice cream. So, so I'm just going to read Matthew 4:23-25, and we'll get right into it. So this reads, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So this, it was probably a couple episodes ago now, we covered that chronology between, it was in Luke, between Jesus being kicked out of Nazareth, and we talked about the unclean demon.
Oh, yes.
And
yes.
Everything that was going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at the end of that, you know, whenever Simon's house was overrun by all those.
Oh, yeah.
People coming to be healed. This is Matthew's version of that same story. Mark had his version. Luke had his version. And now this is Matthew's version. It's just a more compressed, more condensed version. But that's what Matthew typically does.
Yeah.
Like, as we've seen, he covered Jesus' first 2 years of ministry with a one sentence summary to cover everything that he skipped.
It's amazing to me.
But it makes sense if you understand what Matthew's trying to do. He's trying to show the Jewish people that Jesus is Messiah. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the Son of God. But he's doing it using certain stories and certain collections of these stories, of similar stories put together in order to show that Jesus is that Messiah through fulfillment of scripture.
Okay.
Through fulfillment of prophecy.
Prophecy. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
So he's not worried about all this setup. I mean, he needs a setup to get it set up, mm-hmm. but it's more about getting to those stories so he can really focus on that aspect.
And that's what the Jewish people are looking for.
Yes. And that's where, once we get into our next chapter, Matthew 5, starting with the Beatitudes and going in, that teaching actually covers three chapters.
Mm.
So he goes from jumping all of this to taking three chapters on one teaching.
Mm.
So it helps you to understand what Matthew's focus is. It's this teaching. It's what Jesus did. Not so much what he did at the early part, but when he was in his full swing of the ministry.
Because
that last year.
That's what mattered to the Jewish people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do this verse by verse.
Okay.
So verse 23, I'm going to read it again. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So he went throughout all Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
So this doesn't mean that he went to every single city within Galilee. There's too many cities for him to hit. But it comes to a point that after so long, once you go to so many cities, it's just easier to say.
All of Galilee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We just went throughout all Galilee.
Yeah.
Because we have to remember that at this point in Jesus' ministry, and actually through most of Jesus' earthly ministry, it was Jew first. His mission was Jew first. Gentile was going to come later.
Mm.
So he's not going to these cities that are primarily Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
going to the cities that are primarily Jewish and are still following the Jewish customs and Jewish beliefs.
Okay.
So he's focusing on those cities. For example, two cities that the Bible never mentions that Jesus went to.
Yeah.
Was Sepphoris and Tiberias.
Okay.
And these were both at one point capital cities for Galilee whenever Antipas was the ruler there, when he was the king there. And I forget which one he set up first, but he went to one and then he built up the other one and then he kind of moved the capital city over to there. But both of these cities, they were Hellenistic. And that's just a big fancy word that means that they followed the Greek theology, mythology. So it was more based on Alexander the Great type stuff, I think is who it was based on. So it was more Greek centered. So I'm not saying there wasn't Jewish people in those cities, but the majority of the Jewish people in those cities were probably following the lifestyle like the Greeks and not like the Jews.
Okay.
So those that were in those cities that were actually still following the traditional Jewish culture, they would have been going out to Jesus to find him wherever he was. But chances are they probably wouldn't have been living in those cities anyways because they were so Gentile that they would have been going to other cities where people were more like them.
Okay.
And following their same customs and traditions and stuff like that. So, yes, he probably didn't go to every single city.
Okay.
But he was going throughout all of Galilee, hitting up the Jew first. Not saying, again, we know that his message was getting to the Gentiles, but he wasn't preaching to the Gentiles.
They were hearing of what he was doing.
He was preaching to the Jews. But
and if they wanted
Gentiles
to see
listening.
Him, yes. they came to him then.
Yes.
He didn't stop in their cities. And they knew that. They knew that he wouldn't be coming there. So that's when they would come and.
Yeah. So the Gentiles would have still been hearing this message, but his mission was Jew first.
Okay.
And we know this because of the mention of the synagogues. So yes, he was traveling all throughout Galilee. And he was teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. I got a fat tongue there for a second. I don't think that was that funny.
That was really funny. No.
I better pull it off. I need to ice it so it shrinks back down.
Alice's Dairy Bar should be our sponsor for tonight. Oh my goodness.
Let's see. Okay, where was I?
The synagogues. Okay,
so teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. So we need to first focus on synagogues, what the synagogues were. And I'll try not to go into too deep of a rabbit hole here, but so as we know, there are two primary religious groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
I've taught on this before.
Mm-hmm.
So just as an overview, the Sadducees, they were more the higher class. They liked to rub elbows with the politicians, and they believed that the only place you could truly worship was a temple. And they only taught out of the first five books of the Bible, which is the Torah. But then you also had the Pharisees. And the Pharisees weren't as high class. They were more the middle class. And they taught more of the general populace. And they were also very strict with their laws. They liked to create laws. They were all about the laws. But they were the ones that came up with the synagogues. And a modern day comparison is our church buildings.
Okay. You can get that. I'm hungry. My belly's growling. And it doesn't help that you have ice cream.
Would you like some?
I don't eat ice cream.
You don't eat ice cream?
I do not eat ice cream.
Who are you? So the Pharisees. we'll see. See how funny it is. So the Pharisees.
Yeah.
Pharisees.
Yeah.
Pharisees.
Yes.
They love the law.
They do.
And they were the ones that came up with the idea of the synagogues, because they were going out to, like I said, the general populace, to the people.
Yes.
Well, these people, they couldn't travel to Jerusalem, to the temple, because there's only one temple. And it's in Jerusalem.
It's in Jerusalem.
So not all these people, especially those up in Galilee and all these outer regions, they're not going to travel to Jerusalem every week just to go to the temple for Sabbath. So it was the Pharisees' idea to, hey, we'll create these synagogues.
In each city?
I don't know.
Okay, I don't either.
I mean, I thought, yes, every city, but I never actually did the research. So I don't know for sure.
Okay.
But
okay.
I would think so.
But they were easier to get to. So
they were easier to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like a modern day comparison is our church buildings. But for the synagogues, it doesn't necessarily mean that they were physical structures. It could have just meant a gathering place for the people to come to where they could teach and preach on the Sabbath.
Hmm.
So, and it's not necessarily even saying that it's one defined spot. I mean,
there may not be any walls. It could be in the middle of a park.
Could be
in our society right now. It could be prayer in the park.
Yeah. But that might sound weird, but look at our modern day church. This building that we're in.
Yep.
This is not the church. This is the church building.
Mm-hmm.
We are the church.
Yes.
Nowhere in the Bible does it say Jesus dwells within the church building. The Holy Spirit dwells within us.
That's correct.
We have the Holy Spirit within us.
That's correct.
So we are the church,
mm-hmm.
not the building. So they have a similar mindset. Now, granted, they probably, most of them did have physical structures, but it was still the same mindset that the people were the synagogue.
The gathering of the people.
So whenever they gathered, mm-hmm. that was their synagogue. So wherever they were, where they were gathering and teaching on the Sabbath, that was their synagogue. So that was...
I love that.
That was a lot for one word. Wait till we get to kingdom.
Pan's even laughing at that one.
Oh. So, in this part of this verse, it mentions both teaching in the synagogue and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Now, you may think, well, that's basically saying the same thing twice. I mean, what's going on here? What are you doing, Matthew? What are you trying to tell us? But it's mentioned twice because this is two different things. So teaching would imply a more of a formal teaching. So on those Sabbaths, if somebody would invite Jesus to come and speak at their synagogue, then that would be more of that formal teaching where he is his teaching in their synagogues. The proclaiming, that is more of the stuff that he does on non-Sabbath days. So whenever they're just traveling down the road, or I mean, Jesus always had a bunch of people following him wherever he went. But if he just stopped in a town, or he's on the outside of a town and he just starts talking and teaching and people gather, he's proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He's not, I mean, he is teaching, but the teaching implies, at least here in Matthew, the way he's wording it, this teaching is implying the formality of the teaching, where the proclaiming is the informal, just, hey, this is the message.
Yeah.
I mean, we can kind of see that today. For those of us here at our church, our pastor has been going through a message or a sermon series on
ministry.
Well, on ministry, on help. Well, I can't find the word. On mission.
Oh, yeah.
Doing mission.
Doing mission work.
She's been doing sermon series on mission work. And, you know, one of the things that he's been talking about is that whenever, like, we're all called to mission. And just because we're called to mission, that doesn't mean we need to go and start some big thing and go overseas and dig wells and build schools.
Right.
And go help all these poor or whatever. No, you can do mission work in your own home.
Yes.
In your school, in your place of work, at the grocery store, at the coffee shop, wherever you go in your everyday life.
Yep.
There you can do mission work. And that's just simply sharing what Jesus has done in your life.
That's correct.
I mean, and that's proclaiming the gospel. You're just sharing what Jesus has done for you. So Jesus is just sharing the good news of the kingdom. So whether he's teaching formally or proclaiming in his everyday life, he is still sharing the same message.
Yes.
I mean, our message may not be the same if we would get up here and preach. And then go out to work or whatever.
Right. Your everyday. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the best comparison as far as real life, like the whole mission type aspect of it. But yeah, so.
You got about 3 minutes.
Whoa. I can cover this next part, I think.
Oh, fantastic.
So, not the part after that.
No, not that part.
So the next section, in healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So he's teaching, he's preaching, and he's healing every disease and every affliction. So this is just telling us that Jesus isn't just out there teaching and preaching. He's also healing. But the key thing to notice about this part of this verse is the fact that it's where he's going. It's all the sick, where he's traveling through this ministry, through this circuit of preaching that he's going through. It's every sick that he comes across while he's going to all these different cities throughout all Galilee. Any sick that is there, he's healing them. And that's important to note, because once we get to verse 24, 25, at that point, people aren't becoming to him to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a reversal. So we just need to notice here that he is healing as he is traveling all around. And so when we come back next week, I'm going to nerd out on the word kingdom.
I look forward to it.
How should we do it now?
No, you got 1 minute and 56 seconds.
I want to do it now because I want to do it now.
Okay. If you can get it done.
I don't know. It might be a little long, but that's okay. So I want to go back and look at the gospel of the kingdom.
Okay.
So gospel obviously means good news.
Yes, it does.
That's pretty well known. But kingdom has a much deeper meaning. And the Greek word translated here that is translated into kingdom is basileia. So basileia is used 162 times in the New Testament.
Okay.
And almost every time it's used, it is translated as kingdom.
Mm.
The only place out of the few, I didn't look at every single English version of the Bible, but out of a few of the most popular ones.
Yes.
The only place where basileia is translated as something different is in the book of Revelation.
Oh, okay.
So that's the only place where it's different. I primarily used ESV, English Standard Version. And English Standard Version, 159 out of 162 times, it is translated as kingdom. And you're probably wondering, okay, what does this have to do with anything?
What does this have to do with anything?
This is kind of dumb. Get to the point. Anyways, the thing is, basileia has many different meanings. It can also mean royalty.
Okay.
Rule, as in ruling a kingdom.
Okay.
Reign. Again, it's the same thing as you reigning over something.
Mm-hmm.
Or realm.
Mm.
So it has all these different meanings. But 159 out of 162 times it's translated kingdom. That's, to me, that takes away the power of this word.
Okay.
It takes away the power of basileia as its original Greek, but by always using kingdom as a translation, now we start to become numb to the word kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So every time we're reading in our Bible and we see kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, it's just, okay, what's kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God? There's not much power behind it because that's the way it is everywhere we see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to challenge all of you who are watching this to go open up your Bible and then or every place where you see, and this is where I need to take a little side story here, because in this exact spot where I'm actually using this to highlight it, Matthew, there's three spots in Matthew where this doesn't work, and this is one of them. And then there's one spot in Acts, and I don't remember the exact spot. I think it's Acts 26:10, but I might be wrong. I'll put a little link here for the right verse for those that watch the video. But like for this one where he's talking about the gospel of the kingdom, this is literally just the kingdom. But like if you look at the story of Jesus in front of Pontius Pilate, there Pilate asked Jesus, are you a king? And Jesus replies, my kingdom is not of this earth. If my kingdom was of this earth, my servants would fight for me, but my kingdom is not of this earth. Well, if you take that kingdom and replace it with any one of these other words, my rule, my realm, my royalty, my reign is not of this earth. It all makes perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But it changes the way it feels. It changes the way you read it. It changes the impression you get from it. So I'm challenging all of you to do this. Open up your Bibles and where you see kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, or if Jesus is speaking, he often says, my kingdom. use some of these other
change
words.
Change it.
Change it to rule, royalty, realm,
reign.
Mm-hmm. Try to use one of these other words and see if it changes the way it feels. See if it changes the way you read scripture. Because I've been doing this and it just makes me feel like I'm getting a deeper understanding of what's actually going on. So try it. Leave a comment in this video. Reach out to us in any other way. See if it helps you, because I'm kind of curious, because it has helped me, but it's just me. I don't know if it,
right.
Maybe I'm just weird and this only helps me. What?
I said.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
That's how Zeke said his name today.
He was so quiet. He whispered.
Zeke.
Zeke. So yes, leave a comment. Let us know if that helps you develop a better understanding of scripture. So, all right, I think I'm going
to
quit there.
All right, so we thank you for joining us. Please leave a comment on this video or go to our contact page on purefaithliving.com to send us a message. And as always, if you like what you hear, then we ask that you share the show with others so we can work together in spreading the word, the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't forget to subscribe, and we will talk to you again next time.
Have a blessed day, everybody.